Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Welcome to the DC Universe, a comics versus podcast. We're the Lorehounds, your guides to Gotham City's latest party pills. I'm David.
And I'm Jean.
And I'm Alicia. And this is our look at the characters of the HBO limited series, The Penguin.
Today, we're talking about episodes 2 and 3, Inside Man and Bliss.
Check out the beginning of our episode 1 discussion for our spoiler-free takes on the start of the series, what to expect from the show, and how it got made.
But today, there will be spoilers for all 3 episodes out so far, so make sure you're caught up before listening.
We're going to check back in on especially the 3 main characters, Oswald, Victor, and Sophia.
As it stands now, we're planning to come back every episode or two to catch up on their stories.
And we want to hear what you think about the show as well. Send feedback to lorehounds at thelorehounds.com. Voicemails also encouraged. Or head to our website and use the contact form there.
We also welcome you to join the conversation on our Discord server. We have a great mod team and a dedicated channel set up to the Penguin.
Links for everything in the show notes.
And now, with our spoilers out of the way, let's start to talk about what we thought of these 2 episodes overall. Alicia, you were busy doing some family stuff, and now you're back home.
So welcome. I was officiating my sister's wedding.
Congratulations to her, and congratulations to you. I hope it was a fun activity, hang out with your fam.
Yeah, well, cool. I mean, yeah, it was a very much more than a fun activity.
Busy.
Major life-changing event. Although, to be honest, once in our day and age, what does getting married really change except your tax forms?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But yes, anyway, Jean and I, I'm sorry, what was that?
It was a big success.
Good.
Great.
Good.
Jean and I got to talk about episode 1. The other week, and then we were like, oh, we gotta wait for Alicia because I know you're excited about this show. So give us your full spectrum takes on all 3 episodes up until now. And again, spoilers. So if you haven't seen 1 through 3, we're gonna get in deep here. So,
yeah, as I said in my voicemail about the first episode, I really thought it was a strong opening, especially that first scene where, you know, we see him meet someone that I assumed, based on the casting, was going to be a major character. And then he just kills him because he laughs him right away. And it's like, so you learn so much about Penguin in this, about Oz, I should call him, because only VD calls him Penguin as part of insult. And now we've seen over this, we've seen that understanding evolve. And I love all the parallels that they're drawing between especially Oz and Sophia, but also about how Oz sees Victor as a younger version of himself. And I love how Victor is like the wild card here, because we don't know, especially since he, as Jean pointed out in the last episode, he got that Robin introduction, you know, from the comics. So we don't really know which side of the fence Victor's ultimately going to wind up on. And it's definitely, I'm glad we're doing this as a character study, because like this entire show, that is the strength of it, is these 3 characters and how they interact with the people, each other and the people around them. And I can't wait to keep seeing that evolve.
Jean, what do you got? Episodes 2 and 3?
I mean, I think I said something on the Discord, akin to lies, lies, and more lies. How does it catch up to him, to Oz? And does it catch up to him? You know what I mean? This guy's a hustler, and he's hustling everybody around him, and probably even hustling himself a little bit. And I am so keen to find out how this all plays out. because it's fascinating to step into a show and just see somebody just trying to read the chessboard and make moves as things are being thrown at him. I think he tells Vic on more than one occasion, this is the game. You got to think quick. You gotta get yourself out of the jam fast. You know what I mean? So watching him do those calculations, it's really, really, I'm really enjoying it.
Right. Right on. Yeah. For me, episode 2 was a little bit more functional and didn't grip me in the same way, except until the end, toward the ending of the sequence. And then there were times where my heart was pounding. I didn't know it was coming. And I got really nervous. Like, how is he going to get out of these situations? And then 3, I had a really hard time watching 3, but not because it was a bad episode, but because I felt so uncomfortable being with Vic, knowing that he's on this arc and that then they set up the whole girlfriend stuff. And I felt it very deeply discomforting because I think they're doing a good job of selling me Vic. Like, I'm really connected to him, and this struggle that he's going through is coming off screen and making me feel things. So I was really impressed by that level of script writing and design and acting, that kind of emotional waves are coming off a screen. I've noticed a couple of times in 2 and 3 where I'll catch a glimpse of Colin Farrell just for like a half second. Mm-hmm. The first episode, I just
forehead.
No way. Yeah. I could see him nowhere. And then these 2, I've like caught a couple of scenes. But so far, I'm really enjoying this. Christina Milotti is just killing it. And then you know, everybody else. And, you know, I've seen a handful of conversation of people going like, and I've listened to some other mainline, like National Public Radio, you know, or Slate.com, you know, their reviewers, their cultural critic people going like, did we ask for this? Do we need it? Is it anything we're interested in? Is it good? Sure. But you know what? And I don't know that this is anything that I asked for because I'm not big on the DC universe. And then people are like, well, does it really understand what it is, that it's a, you know, gangster thing and a superhero comic, but whatever. To me, I know, Jean, you're shaking your head.
Yeah,
I'm with the faces that Jean's making represent my feelings.
So am I. I am absolutely, I don't care what alchemy this is, but it is working for me on every level. And I kind of love the fact that somewhere out there in this universe, there is this, you know, superhero stuff going on. But this is every, you know, at other levels of a superhero story, there are characters who are doing other things simultaneously, right? And then that we get to hang with somebody like Oz and go through his machinations and see up close what a criminal underworld, you know, operation sort of looks like from a management level. It's just working for me. And so I love the production design, the values, the acting, all of the actors that they picked for everything. It's hitting a sweet spot for me, and I'm just very happy with it.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, well, first of all, I'm starting to like get a pet peeve with people in general being like, who asked for this? Who cares?
Exactly. What does that mean, who asked for it?
Watch it or not.
Right.
Watch it or not. But honestly, you know, Jean and I have differences in opinion about the movie The Batman.
Which I've yet to watch yet. It's on my list, but I haven't gotten around to it yet.
So, let me know when you're watching.
I got Rings of Power just finished. Like, I've been busy.
But so, yeah, so we represent the full spectrum of engagement with that film. But, you know, when I came out of The Batman and the second, I rewatched The Batman then before this show started too, just to like refresh my memory. And both times I walked away with, like, even before this was announced, I was like, I would love for them to do a spinoff with the Joker. Oh, sorry. Why do I keep saying the Joker? I would love for them to do a spinoff with the Penguin. So I asked for this. Okay?
So you asked for this. Thank you for asking, because we're going to all benefit from it. So
yeah,
I appreciate it. Well, let's work through our three primary characters. We have Oswald Oz Cobb, Victor Vic Aguilera, and Sophia Falcone, the hangman? ... I have questions, but you guys
will. She says she's not, whatever that means.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what's going on. Alicia, where are you with Oz, and especially these last couple of episodes? How are you? What have you been noticing? What are you into with his character?
Well, I'll say in general, this show knows how to end an episode to like get me wanting the next one. You know, mm-hmm. So I loved the end of the episode 2 was where, you know, Sophia looks at him and is like, "Shall we team up?" I'm like, "Yes, team up." And then episode 3 ends with like, you know, he's been playing the Falcones and the Maronis against each other, and we see that blow up in his face at the end of mm-hmm. episode 3. So I am hook, line, and sinker, like all in on, oh my God, how is he going to navigate this? And please, can we get the dynamic duo of Oz and Sophia back together? Yeah. So that's yeah.
Yeah, to riff off that a little bit, there's that great line in the movie Heat, and I'm trying to remember the actor off the top of my head who says this line, but he says basically, it's the juice that's the action for me. It's not that we scored $1 million and what have you. It's the act of doing it. Mm-hmm. And I don't wonder if that's what Oz really enjoys. Yeah, he's got aspirations to be to run this city. That's the goal. But I really am feeling that he's having more fun doing, you know, trying to achieve the goal than actually when he does achieve the goal. That I don't know that he'll enjoy it that much. I don't know, Jean, if that.
No, it kind of makes sense because, you know, you hear the axiom, you know, it's not about the end results, it's about the journey. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So you get that sense from Oz. The thing is, in this last episode, to Alicia's point, this was the first time that I felt that he made a critical mistake by leaving Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why? Don't leave Sophia, why? Right.
This is the first time that I felt in the first three episodes, watching everything that he's done, all the manipulation, all the moves that he's putting on the chessboard, this was the first one that I said, this could be a huge mistake by leaving her with the Maronis. Because you can't put those two factions together to mm-hmm. try to start to make sense of what's happening. This mm-hmm. Feels like right now he's not in control of the board. Whereas the first two episodes and up until that point, he was totally controlling the action. Right mm-hmm. now he's not. And I'm fearful that this is going to turn into a very bad place for him and for Vic, because they've just set up their two opponents, and he put the two opponents on the same side.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not a good thing.
And right after she forced him to apologize to her.
Yes.
Too.
Yes. Mm. And you can see between the two of them, there's so much going on beyond the mm-hmm. moves that they're making, beyond, mm-hmm. you know, we want to take over. There's so much resentment. There's so much of it's almost like a class struggle. You know, you used to be my driver. Don't think you're on my level. You know, mm-hmm. don't overstep your boundaries. So it's really an interesting play on criminal underworld, where there are these hierarchies, right? And we're seeing it play out in two people who have been under the hierarchy. Like Sophia's being told to get out. You know, you have no place here. And she's looking
She blinks her eyes and says, "Oh, thanks, Vivi." Yeah.
Right? and she's looking at Oz like Oz is the one who really has no place here. You know, so there's a lot of tension and a lot of unspoken things going on between the two of them that has a lot to do with like criminality and just, you know, real gangster street shit.
you know, she even dings him at one point and says, you're not even a made man.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you're not even part of, you're not technically part of the family. Yeah. So, you know, what are you doing here? The back to the awes and the juices, the action. And of course that's Tom Sizemore playing Michael Cerito in the movie Heat from 1995. When Pacino says to him, you know,
Robert De Niro.
De Niro says to him, like, are you, you're in or you're out? And he says, you know, for me, the juice is the action. And there's right after he shoots Falcone, the younger Falcone, the new mob boss.
Sophia's beloved brother.
Yeah. Sophia's beloved brother. He's like full of elation and emotion and like, you know, he enjoyed doing it. Right.
Oh yeah, he's a psychopath.
And then the realization dawns on him like, oh shit, now I got to clean up. This is going to be a mess. But then he just goes about doing it in a very workmanlike attitude. And then after Vic crashes the car and rescues him, he's elated. He's like, you know, do you feel it? Like, you know, this is an exciting moment. We're in it now. And he's happy that they're in it. He's happy that there is chaos happening. So
Vic, not so much.
You feel bad for Vic.
Yeah.
But should we feel bad for Vic?
Mm. Well, we'll get there. Mm-hmm. So, Alicia, you have a note here about his Oz's brothers.
Yeah, so, I mean, just because obviously Jean-Yu are the expert on the comics here, but he kills his two brothers in the comics, right?
Yes.
And so now all we've just heard reference to, they seem to have died at the same time, or at least they had like a co-funeral or something. So now I have to wonder, in this version, did he kill them?
Yeah, there's so many questions here because this is an Elseworlds story. So we don't know how much they're taking from the classic, you know, DC telling of the Penguin's history. So I urge everyone to hold on a little bit because you want to make a correlation between what you know of the character. But again, this is not that character, right? This is not the character from the DC main universe that we all know, that, you know, most of us read or seen somewhere or encountered before. This is a new take. So how much are they going to bring in the previous history, his previous biography into this remains to be seen. But yes, he did kill his brothers.
you think this version did?
Yes. I firmly believe this version killed his brothers too. Yes.
I think I'm waiting for the moment when that story element comes out, and I'm really anticipating the showrunners. Maybe I should be careful about what I wish for, because if I wish for it and it doesn't meet my expectations, then I'll miss it for what it is. But I do want to, I don't know, I want that to pack a punch when they do wallop it with this. I don't want to see it coming. Right. I want to see it from across screen and just smack me in the side of the head and just have me going, whoa, you know, this character is wild. And then does his mother know if he did kill them? Because she's certainly devoted to him.
Right. I would guess not, but I mean, she has dementia now, so you have to wonder what her mental state is overall, because they've painted a declining picture of it. So,
and to the point that he's paid somebody to mind, to be a distant minder, like to be across the street, like watching her kind of situation. And so and
I just have to shout out Deirdre O'Connell, cause she's, she's great. She's really riveting for me. I watched her in the scene when, you know, she's on the sofa and, you know, just shaking, right? She has the shakes, she has the shivers, and it's just so powerful to see. And then he puts on the record and they dance. And it's like, you know, I don't know for anyone who hasn't been around someone who suffers from a debilitating, you know, illness, but it's something to witness when they come out of it for a moment. Like, they just, it's just like a slim glimmer for a moment. They're the person you kind of remember them as being. And she captured that in that moment. And I was really, really, you know, impressed by her character. I think she's doing a great job. And she's so menacing. Like, she's a menace. What did she tell him? What are you, a pussy boy? Like, what kind of mom? What is going on here?
It works, though. Yeah. Because that's when he's like, you know what? You're right. I got a new plan.
Yeah,
new plan.
Yeah. So
I just looked at her IMDb or her Wikipedia page really quick.
Yeah.
She's been in over 40 films and about half as many television shows.
Wow.
And she has been working steady since 1987. If you look at it, 87, 88, 89, 90, 90, 90, 92, 92, 92, 92, 92, 93, 95, and all the way through up to 2022 with a little, you know, COVID, you know, thing. This is a working actor who knows what she is doing on screen and how to work with the camera and how to work with her script and how to work with other actors. So I don't recognize her from other stuff. She's probably, you know, I mean, she's in so many films. I've seen her before. I just didn't recognize her. But this is a breakout role for her.
Yeah, I actually totally agree with that. This is a breakout because she's awesome. She's awesome.
And good for her for, you know, sometimes it takes a while for an actor or actress to hit it. And I think she got the proper role to
really show yourself, you know?
Have either of you watched Only Murders in the Building?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it season 3 when Meryl Streep says, you know, and it takes, you know, a particular show and a particular person to see you and then your things line up and it takes off on you. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
You were going to add something else, Alicia?
I don't remember what I was going to add before, but just speaking of long working actors who I'm excited to see here, we also have Shohreh Aghdashloo.
Oh, yes.
Who's playing Nadia Moroni. So she's the wife of one of the two families he's trying to manipulate and the one who shows up at the end and calls him out. And I'm just always so excited to see her. Shout out to season 3 of The Wheel of Time, which she's going to be in. but it's cool that they, you know, because it becomes this whole idea, you know, Gotham City, obviously stand in for New York City. That's not news to anybody. And, you know, it's always about like the Italian mob scene, blah, blah, blah. But they gave it a new twist because then they're like, okay, so Moroni married a Persian woman and she brought in her whole family. So now they're like Italian, Persian. It just adds a new twist to
it's a melting pot. A melting pot of criminals, you know?
Yeah.
You love to see it. You love to see it.
As she was for me the perfect Christina Avicerala for The Expanse.
Oh,
like, there is no other person played that role. Yeah.
She's playing for Wheel of Time. People who know Wheel of Time, she's going to play Aleda Sedai, which is going to be awesome. This is epic. I can't say anything about the character, but she's a badass. Let's say that.
Well, she certainly shows up as a badass in this episode.
Yeah.
You know, the way she kicks open the door of the car and just like, hey, who do you think you are? You know what I mean? Who do you think
you are?
Don't
mess with my family.
Yeah. This is not going down the way you thought it was going down, bro. So
Can we segue really quick on the New York City of it all? Because we've all lived in New York City. Jean, you're still here. There.
Yeah.
It's so weird for me to see this production because I recognize so many locations and I'm like Gotham, not I'm constantly Gotham, not Gotham in this. And it's, it's doing my head in a little bit, not in a bad way,
right?
But it I don't know, it's just doing something different to me, because Gotham always, it's like, okay, you know, it's Chicago, it's just a mixture of megalopolis, right? Not megalopolis, but mega cities, right?
And in the Batman, they went to great lengths to make it a mixture on screen. So they would take landmarks from different cities and mix them together. I don't know if they're doing that as much here. And I can imagine, obviously, the budget's more limited here. And, you know.
Right.
So they might have just, like, concentrated more in New York. But
yeah, I mean, there's straight up some places like that FEMA camp. Where was that, Jean? That's out at the Industry City.
Yeah.
Like, I've walked, you know, I've stood exactly where their cameras were filming. You know, it's... or on part of the BQE when it goes through through Dumbo. You know, I used to work in that area, so I know exactly that twist of that. You know, it's just, it freaks me out every time I see it.
No,
because I know it's not supposed to be Gotham.
It's a great. I mean, visually, I like the darkness. This is something that I enjoy. This is a part of cinema that I enjoy. I enjoy crime. Gangsters, criminals, trying to either get up on one another or trying to get up on the cops. I appreciate a show like this. This is, so again, who asked for this? Well, I asked for it because it's me. I asked for this. So this is something that I'm really, really excited about. And to the point where I was making the face earlier, all comic books are not, you know, bam, pow, you know, let me hit you with my special, you know, eye lasers. You know, it's, there are so many different takes on superheroes and crime, and some of them are gritty. Some of them are not at all for Saturday morning viewing and or reading to your 8-year-old. So there's a plethora of stories out there whose tone is just what we're seeing on screen. So I wish people would take out this idea that, oh, this is a comic book, but is it really? Yeah, it is really a comic book adaptation. It truly is. There are no superheroes. Mm-hmm. Like Batman, from where this universe, this story is taking place, right, has no powers, absolutely nothing. He's not lifting a car up and throwing it halfway across the United States of America. You know, these stories.
He's a flesh and blood man.
Yeah. Right? Who bleeds. Yeah,
he's just a regular old human.
Mm-hmm. He can be shot. He could be stabbed. So can his counterparts that the arch nemesis that he has, the villains that he encounters, many of them can be shot, stabbed, or beaten into a coma, right? This is the story. So the idea that because it's gritty and it's dark and it's devoid of superpowers, is it really a comic book? Yes, it is. It's a comic book adaptation. And I just wish that the people who talk about this stuff would do themselves and the audience a favor by actually exploring comic books. Because not everything is, you know, X-Men and Avengers.
Right. Thor and all that stuff. And yeah. That's interesting. And maybe that's part of the alchemy that's working for me is that this is grounded. Mm-hmm. That it's not, we're not seeing lasers and spaceships and magic hammers and that kind of stuff. But this is a very grounded world. Alicia, you were going to say something.
I was just going to say that I am not usually one for like the crime dramas. I still haven't watched The Sopranos. I'm going to do it. I know that this is one of these shows. But it's not, this is, I've watched the first season of The Wire and I intend to get back to it. I think I might like The Sopranos better, even though I haven't seen it yet. The Wire, the first season, I struggled. I think it's a good show. It's qualitatively good. It's just not the genre that draws,
that you enjoy.
That, sure, attracts that's fine. Me.
Right.
So the fact that this show is speaking to me, I think that says something, you know, right. It says something about the depth and complexity and variety of the characters, because yeah, that is what's sucking me in. It's the characters and right. the acting, and you know, it looks great.
Back to some actors, the acting and some of the characters. You've got a note here, Alicia, about Eve and the girls and how they sort of make they become a more prominent part of episode 3 and are integral to the story now.
I'm worried for them and I'm worried about them. You know, okay. like anyone who's in Oz's orbit other yes. than his mother, I'm like, yes. he's going to betray them or they're going to betray him. It's going to be ugly. This is not going to be like kumbaya at the end. I know it. So I'm worried. I love the fact that he has Eve, even though he obviously pays her, you know, she's a paid company, but she's warm. She's supportive. She, you know, when he asks her for an alibi in episode 1, she's like, no questions asked. Later, she's like, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Maybe she should have asked some questions. This is a big thing. Maybe I should have asked some questions.
So I'm worried that this is going to blow up in her face, but I just want good things for Eve and her girls.
Right, right. And then we go from drops to bliss. And I know there was some whinging out in the world about, you know, drops and was that the right way to explain it? And, you know, it was fine for me. They didn't work. You know, we just needed a substance. We just needed a drug and we just needed to call something. I think the twist that it's now this drug that's coming out of Arkham and mm-hmm. being refined, I think that's really interesting. And we were talking about the team up between Melody's character, Sophia, and Penguin. He's got the distribution network. She's got the product. I think that's it works. So like all the gears sort of mesh up for this plot device. Do you guys have any thoughts about the drug in question, or Jean?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that the drug that they're using is something that was tried out on inmates. On mm-hmm. people who had no choice, right? They were in Arkham, and this was not something that they chose to take. This is something that was forced on them, at least from what mm-hmm. you know. Sophia's telling us this was part of their quote unquote rehabilitation, right? So to keep them docile, to keep them calm, so that she's using this drug to give to the masses, right?
Right.
That she
she's doing to others what was done to her,
right? In a grand way. And the thing is, with Oz, he's making this shit up as he goes. He didn't know about Sophia's, that she had the product. He didn't know it was coming mm-hmm. from Arkham. He had no idea that it was going to work with the triad. He's just going along and trying to make everything by sheer force of will. Like, I'm mm-hmm. gonna, people are so, the people that I deal with are so crooked that I can appeal to them by lying, and a lie will get me exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. This is the opposite of what you tell yourself, what you tell your kids to do. This is the opposite of this is totally not the morality that we expect out of our heroes or anti-heroes. He mm-hmm. is saying to you, to me, I'm going to lie through my teeth. I'm going to stab, shoot, and I'm going to climb over everyone to get to where I need to be. And mm-hmm. are you okay with that as a viewer? Because I'm rooting for him. Am I?
Right.
What does that mean? What does that make me? I want to see him win. And what does that make me? So I'm asking myself these questions, like, should I be rooting for this guy? Right?
And when he murders the Falcone, or not the Falcone, the, who's the other team? Sorry, I don't have all these names in my head.
Alberto Falcone, the young
one? No.
The Moroni henchman.
The Moroni henchman, thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got Lord of the Rings in my head right now because we're just wrapping up that. So I haven't cleared out my short-term storage for new content. When he kills the Moroni henchman, that was just cold-blooded murder, right? That was just straight. And that wasn't even in anger. It wasn't even a crime of passion when he shot Alberto Falcone. And then when he's – I swear I thought he was going to plant the knife on Vinny. Right? And I thought
that was so good.
But then he gives it to the bodyguard, and he removes the bodyguard from play, who's a guy that's bugged him, who's, you know, and it's payback in a way because he tortured him. And he's a guy that's just, you know, with him out of the way, he and Sophia can have a better relationship. Maybe he's not thinking that in particular in that moment, but he's like, who can I set up? And it's more believable that it's the henchman than it is Vidi, because they're going to go like, that wouldn't make sense. So that was like a really smart play in that moment.
Yeah.
But man, I was so nervous that whole time, like what was going to happen and how that was going to go down.
Yeah.
And he played it off perfectly.
Perfect.
Yeah, he thrives in improv. I just want to say about the drugs. I think it looks so cool that it's like these white mushrooms with red ooze.
That is very cool.
There are real mushrooms that look like that, but not that have this effect, obviously. but I wanted to ask you, Sean, do you think the fact that it's coming out of Arkham, we know there are some other well-known people in there. Do we think there might be any connection to
Scarecrow?
I was going to say any characters who like to use toxins.
I wouldn't be shocked. Like, I'm very interested to see who this doctor is that she...
Right. You
know, who's that? Who is he?
And what's the actor's name? Something Rossi. I know him from Luke Cage.
Yeah, he was in Luke Cage.
Theo Rossi as Julian Rossi. Yeah, Theo Rossi.
So I'm interested to see his character, who he is, and what role does he play with the entire drug scam that's in Arkham.
Oh, he was in Luke Cage?
Yeah, he was in Luke Cage.
Yeah.
So he's been in a lot of stuff. He's another working actor.
Yeah. And so we'll see, but it will be interesting because this is Scarecrow. This, instead of fear toxin, they're giving people bliss. And so,
good pick.
Let's see what happens if that comes to fruition.
Let's change gears quick. And who do you guys want to talk about next, Victor or Sophia? I mean,
I guess
so hard to
we
choose.
Can continue with Sophia since we've already been touching on her.
I am so in love with Christina Milani. She's so cute and so menacing and so packed with dense, you know, she's such a dense layered character. And I love her Milani's performance of Sophia. And I can't wait to see what's next. And Vidi is going to be in some deep shit with her. So anyway.
Yeah. I know. I love that you said, you know, she's so cute and menacing. And I love, because I know, in the comics, she's like, they make her more of a stereotypical goon looking, you know, like much bigger. She's not like the cute girl. And I think the fact that they did that for this show in a way makes her scarier.
Yes.
Know?
Uh-huh. She is scary. Mm-hmm. Like, Sophia Falcone, do not follow me down the street, please. Because I'm going to cross and walk on the other side. I don't want you behind
me. Who are you more scared of, her or Rio from Agatha All Along?
Oh, damn.
Oh, Sophia, hands down.
Nah, yeah? It's got to be Rio. Rio has that magic.
Rio's
but what is Rio going to mess with me for? Like, I'm just a civilian.
Right? I mean, why? For fun.
Exactly. Just to see if she can make you dance like Pinocchio. Get out of here. I don't want either one of them, but I think Rio, definitely. I think Rio would right. make me more afraid.
I'm picking Milani.
Okay. But
because I like her more.
Yeah, she's going to, you know, slit your throat.
Be friends with Milani. I think Rio would just kill me.
Right. I mean, I could be on the Nostromo or I could be on Happy's Hope. It doesn't matter. I'm going to die by Xenomorph. It doesn't matter. So who do I want to have kill me?
But she's terrifying. Just with her facial expressions, the way she looks at people really captures something that is really it's tough to describe. If you've never been looked at like that by someone in real life, like with the intent to really harm you, it's really disconcerting to watch her, especially in that scene when she's talking to her cousin and she bends down to fix the barrette and her cousin's daughter.
Oh, that was cold.
And she looks up at the cousin like, everything that you've heard about me is probably true, so you might want to relax. You might want to take a chill pill, because those things, those stories that you obviously are thinking about right now, they're true.
But that's the thing about that, the cousin situation, it broke my heart a little bit, because when she first approached her and she's like, oh, remember when we used to like have so much fun in Italy and da da da. And you could tell I think she and Oz are both lonely, but they know they have to be, but also part of them craves to have real connections.
Yes.
And it felt like, oh yes, yeah, someone from my youth who knew me as a little girl and still sees me that way. And then as soon as her daughter comes up and the way she clutches her daughter, she's like, oh, you're just bullshitting me right now. Yep. You don't see me that way at all. And that's when she's like, all right, fine. I'm going to play the role that you think I'm playing.
I'm going to play the role. And it's interesting.
I think you touched on.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, I was going to say.
No, after you, sir. You go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, excuse me, that in this last episode, though, she says she's not that person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Right?
Right. She's not the hangman.
She's not that person.
Right.
But she's willing to play that person. So was she framed?
Yeah.
If she's not, she's more than willing to play that character. To either as a defense mechanism or as a way to just tell you back up. She's willing to play that character. So I'm invested in finding out if she really is the hangman. And if she's not, then who the hell is?
So can you lore educate me a little bit on the hangman?
So in the comics, so she takes on the moniker of the hangman after the Long Halloween. It's a comic book. It's a Batman story where her father is killed. And she comes back. She pretends to be paralyzed. She's not paralyzed. She becomes a serial killer called the hangman. And the story ends with her being killed, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the grit of it.
What's behind big spoilers here for the comics? Why the hangman? What does that mean? What's the meaning of the word hangman as her sobriquet?
She just took on the moniker because it was one of the things that was.
Did she hang people or did she use the symbol or?
She hung people and she stabbed them.
Okay. All right. So, but there's no other.
There's really no other. There's no continuing story arc with her, but that's how she got the moniker. That's how the character was born. It was born out of this. If you haven't seen, there's a Batman animation called The Long Halloween that's based on the comic book. You can watch it. The animation is really great. The story is great. But she comes out of that story with her father dying, broken, and takes on this moniker to get vengeance on the people she feels like of Gotham, basically.
Okay.
And Batman.
I get the impression that we know there's been killing of women because we saw that in the movie, The Batman. And I guess that's been pinned on her. And I wonder, we have the Theo Rossi character, the shrink who hypnotizes her and she's having like these nightmares, obviously about her brother, but then also we see her, you know, Oz is sleeping in a safe. She's sleeping in her closet. She's having bad dreams and she's waking up scratching at her neck. And so she's always like covering these scratches on her neck. But then you wonder, like, is she scratching at her neck because she feels like she's being strangled? Like, is this where connected to the whole hangman thing?
Hmm. Interesting.
That was could she be. A potential victim, actually, could and be. Got the blame?
And we also, that, I didn't think about that. I have to give that some thought, but I think you could be onto something. And what I was about to say is that Alberto, she killed Alberto in the comic books. So she,
yeah, definitely not here.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but it's interesting that in both comic, in the comics, both Penguin and Sophia killed their siblings. Right. For vastly, for different reasons, because one, Oswald's brothers were just, you know, they were terrible to him. So that was like an act of vengeance. But I think she killed, if I remember correctly, I think Alberto was also a serial killer. And she and her father found out and she killed Alberto. If I can remember that correctly. But I'll double back.
Yeah, and hear.
I'll double back in the Discord and just to wrap that up. But she did.
Yeah, here he's the only one who apparently visited her in Arkham. So it's, yeah, it's that tragedy again of her loneliness, but also what's she going to do? She's not going to like her family, the way they treat her. You know, Uncle Luca is in charge now. He doesn't, he's trying to send her off to Italy. No, nobody's, right. Or to, as Vidi put it, you either go to Italy or we'll say you went to Italy.
Right. Right.
Which is a pretty serious threat from him. And, you know, there's no ambiguity in terms of what that means. But then that's pretty dangerous for Vidi to do because, you know, he's a made guy, but you can't go killing family members like that, not without permission.
I mean, you know, her father's not there. Her brother's not there.
Her uncle clearly doesn't care.
Her uncle doesn't care.
Mm, still.
She's on her own.
She's on her own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's on her own.
And she's not going to forget that comment.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no.
But it does seem like she had a questionable relationship with her father, we found out in episode 3. You know, she was like, yeah, I wasn't super sad about him dying either.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious, too, and I think we're going to get this from the show, is digging more into the backstory between Oz and Sophia. So he was her driver. He said or did something that facilitated her being institutionalized. But at the same time, like you said before, Alicia, which I think is a really good point, is that they're both lonely. You know, we see Oz sleeping behind in a safe deposit room, right? You know, that symbolizes that he's alone. Who does he have for companionship? Somebody that he pays for their companionship. And that obviously, this loneliness, I think, forms the basis for his relationship with Victor.
Mm-hmm.
But this wounded, this bruised relationship that happened that between Sophia and Oz is really interesting. And I'm really curious as to what he said or did or what actually went down that caused that. He had to get close to her this last episode in 3, he had to be authentic and sort of say some stuff within the lies, within, you know, all of his big play. So we get there partially, but I still really want to know what really happened, because we know that Oz is not a reliable narrator. You know, he's not a reliable source of information when it comes to this kind of stuff. So again, just like Oz's relationship is his brother's, I want to expect the unexpected punch from the other side hitting me again from what went down between them, because I think they formed a bond when he was her driver. They have a friendship. There is some affection there beyond just the fact that they're both sort of lonely in this crime family.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want their partnership to be over. That's why I was so mad at him for leaving her.
Exactly.
I like their partnership.
I think a lot of people on the on our Discord too were like, "What? No, go back! No. Forget her.
Don't leave Sophia." And yeah, and they had just gotten, they just finally like got to a good place with this whole Bliss thing where they got the triad partner buy-in. And this is where, you know, because there's obviously there is this jostling between them in power where Oz is like, I want to be partners. And she's like, no, I'm in charge and you are my second. And this is how, and it's true that other people respect her more because she's part of this, you know, the family.
Right. She's made, she's mm-hmm. a family member. Yeah. He's not a made man.
But then Oz does come in with valuable intel about Johnny Vitti having the affair with Uncle Luca's wife. Right. So they're able to blackmail him. And it's just, oh, so many like powder kegs just waiting to explode in this story.
Yeah. And he does have the distribution network. He does know the streets in a way. He know, yeah. And like you said, he knows where literally bodies are buried. and so he has something to parlay. He has something to play with. I think one of my questions going forward is if he somehow gets severed from the Falcones and now at the end of three, like if something goes wrong, what can he still maintain? Does he have loyalty from his distribution network, or do those folks who work in the distribution network side of things recognize their loyalty to the Falcone family, or do they recognize a loyalty to Oz himself? And can he command that? Because he seems like a jovial boss. He seems to treat people, you know, the people in his operational aspect as a manager. He doesn't seem to be a bad manager, right? They're getting it done and, you know, so I don't know. We'll see.
And so I have to ask about our third character, Victor. I have to ask you, David, since you haven't seen the Batman, how did that opening scene in episode three, we get the flashback to the flood, which is something that we see in the Batman. How did that work for you?
So good. It was so, so good. As I said, I posted this on the Discord too. So in reaction to somebody else, I was confused until I wasn't.
Mm. Okay.
And then when I wasn't confused, I was in awe of what they did. And then how that seamlessly rolls into the storyline with Victor and his girlfriend and family stuff. And the setup, really such a great setup for his PTSD flashback in the club, so that we really feel for him, right? He seems to have a lovely family. He seems to be a quote unquote good kid. And the tragedy of I could immediately put myself there watching those floodwaters coming in and, you know, feeling helpless as he's trying to call. And I think from that moment on in the episode is where I was really feeling that deep discomfort of the journey that Victor is on. It's uncomfortable. And I really do want him to get him. I really do want him to get on the bus, but I also really want him to, you know, continue with Penguin because I want to see this go down. So the flashback was perfect. The flashback, the cold open flashback was excellent. And I want to see them do more of these kinds of little set pieces. I love what they do. I love how they're using the show and the design.
Yeah, I loved getting to see more through his eyes and also just seeing like that whole, because when we saw that flood in the Batman, you know, we're seeing it mostly from the Batman's perspective, who swoops in from his tower of wealth, literal tower, you know, and now we're seeing, it's funny that the person who causes the flood is the Riddler, and he does it. He's on this whole mission to punish the wealthy hypocrites of Gotham City. But we see in this that it's actually, it's the people on the ground who are most hurt. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Which I think is poignant, and I think it's really well illuminated, right? They really show us they give us a single character to give us the entirety of the pain that the Joker caused.
Yeah, I think that's
the Riddler.
I think that was a great set. I really do. Because when you can focus on what these great battles between these heroes and villains do to people who are not involved, really, who are just going about their lives, just, you know, making dinner, and then all of a sudden, poof, they're gone.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
That is something that I want to see more of in these sorts of stories. I think Marvel tried to do it in, what is it? I want to say Civil War, if I can remember. Either Civil War, maybe it was Civil War. I can't remember which movie that they tried to do it in, where, you know, before the Accords, and the reason for the Accords was because of this big, you know, fiasco that happened and people died in a building.
Wanda made an oopsies.
Yeah, something like, so that to me is something that should be, doesn't have to be the entire focus, but we should have some focus on what these stories mean to people who are, you know, not powered and they're not involved in the shenanigans of villainy and heroics. And it was really great to watch, to see his face, you know, was just like, oh, the fuck. Like, you can tell, you can just feel it. Like, he's watching the water, and we watch the water come through and go into his apartment.
Right, exactly. Right after he pointed it out. I have to say, from my perspective, so when that cold open started, I didn't realize at first it was a flashback until I saw the flood, you know?
Same. Yeah.
And, because we didn't know his home life, so I didn't know if he just had...
He's wearing the clothes that he was wearing when he first encountered the Penguin.
Yes.
Right? So I didn't have any sense of time.
A real the street kid.
Yeah.
But I knew...
But from my perspective, that when I was watching this with his family, and he's like... And, you know, my life, on a personal note, my life has changed drastically since the pandemic. And so I look at him with his family, in they are secure, they have each other, and he's wanting more. And I am, before his dad even says so, I'm like, you have it so good, you don't even know how good you have it right now until you're about to lose it. And then I was like, oh, right, yeah. I lost it before the show started.
I remember in episode one when they were talking about where he's from, and they said, like, oh, your entire neighborhood is gone.
Yeah. Yep.
So when he was on the roof.
Okay. So he was there.
Yeah. Because so I remembered, I was like, oh, okay, that's why I wasn't surprised by it. And it's just like, to what David said, he's wearing the same clothes that he had on when he met the Penguin. And it's just like when he meets Oz, and it's just, you know, so you know, when you're out there, you know, stealing hubcaps, that's what they were trying to do, right? They were trying to steal hubcaps or whatever, or with take rims, tires or with rims, whatever. And you're living like by this day to day, hour to hour, you know, minute to minute type of existence, which is what he was basically doing before he met Oz, that could end at any time. Like, Oz could have ended that kid's life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was going to. He was going to.
Turn around and watch the sunset.
Yeah.
Or sunrise, sorry.
He was going to do it. And something, maybe because of the disability, like his speech impediment, made him rethink it. That's my thought, because they're both struggling with the physical world and how they relate to it. And I think
Alicia, you had made that point about episode one with your feedback from episode one, didn't you? That he sees something in
him,
stuff.
Right?
And I think it's that, you know, in that moment, he's like, I see myself in him. And him trying to get a better place in this world that is not allowing him to get a better place, right? And that's what Oz is trying to do. He's trying to get to a better place in the world that will not allow him, in a world that shuts doors in a world that does not let him be who he possibly could have been. So now he's just hell-bent on becoming that person no matter what. And he's pulled Vic into this chaos. He's pulled him into the into his orbit. And I knew Vic was not getting on that bus.
I'm so glad we got that out of the way. Like just commit. We know you're committed.
You know you're not getting on that bus. You know, this is the life. This is the life you're in it now. You know what I mean? When he tells her, I can't leave him, he's not saying it because he's afraid of dying to me. I didn't take it as, oh, he's
like, I can't leave this opportunity.
So I think this raises this really interesting question, which you have as a couple of notes in the outline, Alicia, is what's going on here? You know, feeling trapped? Is this abusive? Is this, you know, what is the nature of the relationship? We're coming out of Rings of Power, where we have like all kinds of gaslighters going on.
Forget about
scream. And
is Sauron.
Yes, exactly. And you know, I really loved the confrontation in the bathroom, which he was like, okay, is this what you think this relationship is, as he's holding him to the, you know, his gun to his head. And it is and it isn't. You know, it's like, yeah, you could have left anytime you wanted to. He could have. But then you'd always be, if you stayed in Gotham, you'd always be looking over your shoulder because you don't know if Oz is gonna, you know, clip you or not.
You'd have to too much, yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to really go far from there. So it is an there is an abusive part to the relationship because
and he the didn't, whole grave thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's got him scared. But he does want to have something better for him at the same time. So it's kind of a street, you know, a gangster street tough love, right? Like if you're going to play this game, if you're going to run with me, you got to be able to handle this kind of intensity and this kind of stress.
Right. But, I feel like Vic, he knows that Oz cares about him on some level. He feels confident in that. But at the same time, Oz is also like, lay down with those dead bodies and think about what you did, you know?
Right.
Giving him his mother's treatment.
That's a good point.
I could have seen his mother do the same thing to Oz.
Right. That's the love he knows.
Right. And Oz, you know, when he talks about his history, he talks about a gangster, you know, seeing a spark in him and making him his driver. You know, so he's trying to repeat history here. He's trying to create a boy wonder. You know what I mean? He's trying to create his own sidekick, you know? And Vic is, you know, when you're that age and you have nothing and you're driving around a somebody. Oz is not a made man, but he's a somebody. You know, your family's gone. What are you going to do? Here's $1,000. Right? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
There was a Ta-Nehisi Coates was just on a Fresh Air interview talking about his newest book. And there was a quote that was presented to him as identifying something that really moved him. And this loops back to me for Vic in this situation. And it's a line from Macbeth. And this was a line of Shakespeare that really flipped Ta-Nehisi Coates's sort of love for language. Like it flipped on the switches for him when he was a kid. And the quote is the second murderer in this scene says, I am one, my liege, whom the vile blows and buffets of the world hath so incensed that I am reckless what I do to spite the world. And the first murderer replies, and I another, so weary with disasters, tugged with fortune, that I would set my life on any chance to mend it or to be rid on it. Mm. And to me, that speaks to Vic in this loss. He's lost his family. He's, you know, he doesn't have as much, you know, whatever his thoughts are of his relationship with his girlfriend. It doesn't outweigh the fact that he's willing to throw in on this and to set any chance to mend it or be rid of it, right? Because he could be rid of this life by running with Oz.
Mm. Yeah, what's one of the last things he tells his father? Don't you want better?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Don't you want better? Look at you. Don't you want better? Right? Mm-hmm. He wants better.
Also, but I was wondering, okay, so Oz, we know he betrayed Sophia in some way, and I believe he probably didn't realize that she would end up in Arkham out of it. But then also he told the story, because he didn't tell Vic that he was Sophia's driver, but he told Vic the story about the first driving opportunity he got and how that guy after 3 months was dead. So I have to wonder, did Oz betray him as well? And then, so I started to think, you know, people are always talking about in Star Wars with the Sith, with the rule of two, they're like, why do they keep taking on apprentices that they know are just going to eventually kill them? And that's like, is that the situation here? Is he taking on someone who might do the same thing that he did to the people who brought him up?
Mm. Yep. Yep. I like it.
Yeah. I never thought about that.
Well, that's what we do. Isn't that what we do in the Lorehounds here? Is we mix up our IP stews?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just draw the lines in the IP soup. Yeah,
that's right. Well, should we? Any more thoughts about Vic?
Well, I just question: do you think we're going to see Graciela again, his girlfriend, or do you think that was just a one episode? Give him some backstory. And now he's severed that tie. He seems to be getting close with one of Eve's girls.
Yeah, right. I think Graciela, if she does come back, it's going to be, you know, kind of a side tackle kind of thing. It's going to throw some emotional stakes into it. Mm-hmm. But she could serve just as a backstory persona. If I were her, I think I'd be done with him. Right.
Absolutely.
She's better. I hope she's done with him. Like, she should just go to California. Don't look back. Like, no offense. I like Victor, but
he's not it.
Just get away from
Gotham.
He's
made his choice. Made his choice.
I don't think she'll come back. I think she's going to be like the far away thing that keeps him saying to himself, if I can just get this one score, then I could be out. If I could just make this amount of money, then I could be out. If I could, you know, she's going to be the driving. I see her being his driving force in his mind to say, let me just do this one more thing and then I could go join her. So, you know, and that's how I see her playing out, her character. I would be surprised if she comes back.
Right. Mm.
Well, so we know the other two characters that we, you know, had the spotlight shown on in relation to him were his friend Calvin, who we know we're not going to see more of because Sophia shot him in episode two. But then Calvin's cousin Squid, who seems to be trouble. I have a feeling, we're going to see more of Squid.
I absolutely agree. I think so. They gave him a straight clean shot of his face in the flashback. So he's definitely going to show up. You know, something else that just occurred to me. This is the first time. Is this the first time? Yeah, it has to be. This is the first time that we've had Sophia, Vic, and Oz all in the same room together. Mm. And, you know, she was sussing him out, who are you? And she's making her appraisals of him. And then he comes out and then, you know, she says, well, we're going. Of course, I cringed when Oz says to Vic, "Don't do anything stupid because I'll know it." And of course, what does Vic do? Just like Vic, don't have a party, don't have a party, don't do that. Anyway,
but he made sure she used coasters.
Yes,
he did. A very thoughtful young man.
But this idea that this is the first time that we have the three of them together, you know, in a room together, and these are our three principles. So I'm looking forward to seeing what, you know, them back all on screen together at some point.
Mm-hmm. DC is all about the trios, man.
Really? Yeah. Is that a thing? Is that the thing?
Yeah, DC's
all about. She should have been in that damn car with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because now I'm thinking about what you said, Jean. He left her with the Maronis. Yes. That's now they're going to talk.
Yeah. Why would you?
Yeah, we didn't. I don't think they left us with a shot of her, what her disposition was, where she ended up.
No, I'm just assuming that she's with the Maronis. Maybe she's not. Mm. Maybe she got away.
Maybe she ran off. Maybe
she got away in the chaos.
Because I think Vic just hit that one dude, right? And just smashed into the one car, and then everybody sort of scattered. Yeah,
but then he makes a point to say, what about Sophia?
Mm-hmm. Right. I could see Sophia and what's her face? Mrs. Maroney, Ashura, Nadia Maroney. I could see them being a dangerous duo.
Very.
Seriously.
Very, very.
Seriously. Very. Who runs the world?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get out of here.
Real quick, let me just say one thing. I looked at my DC while we were talking, and she kills predominantly cops.
Okay.
And she does hang them. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Good. So
And she puts a noose around them and strings them up.
Yeah, and in this case, it seems to be women who were killed, but I think that it was her dad or someone else, who's doing
it. Yeah, I wonder if she was
shadiness in the Batman in that regard.
Yeah, he's. Yeah.
Okay, so this is a cool mystery. Like, is she really
the killer?
I like
this. Who they think she is.
Mm-hmm. Is she really and did dead? They make her by sticking her in Arkham more dangerous than she sort of already was? Okay, good stuff. Awesome. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. On the main Lorehounds feed, we're wrapping up with our season wrap-up of Rings of Power. We're going to be recording that tonight. Alicia, you were just able to get our subscriber movie club 11Zs. We covered Prey. We got that out today. I've been listening back to that. It was a really fun podcast. Thanks for getting that done. And
we're doing Agatha.
Thank you, Agatha. How could I forget Agatha? Silly me. Loving that's a lot of fun. You guys had a lot of fun with Nicole from Nevermind the Music.
Yeah, that was great. The other day. Awesome.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Deep psychology insights.
Good insight.
Is Agatha going 8 or 10 or how many episodes?
So it's nine episodes, but the last two are come out on it's Halloween together. So 8 and 9 is
double drop on Halloween.
Header.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Love it. I'm really this show. Even my wife even joined me for episode 3, and not having any background of it, and she was like, "Oh, this is a fun show. This is really cool. I like all the characters and everything like that." So it's hitting. I think it's really hitting well. What else, Alicia, anything that you want to shout out?
So we'll shift us gearing up. So doing two things there at the same time, gearing up for season 2 of Silo, which starts November 15th. So just released the last part of the book trilogy coverage in the subscriber feed in the book club. And also... on the public feed, we are starting up with the Dune book breakdown coverage, which you're going to join for the beginning of.
Sounds good.
Watch out this week for on that feed. There's going to be the first of the Spooktober specials on the Lorehounds Network. We covered The Craft and The Craft Legacy. So keeping the theme witchy. Yeah.
Fun.
On the Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast feed this week in the public feed, there's going to be the next episode, which is looking at 2 episodes of Star Wars Visions, looking at Shadows of the Sith in the High Republic. So that's Visions season 1, episode 7, and season 2, episode 9.
Very cool.
When do you sleep? When do you find time?
Oh, man. Since I got sick on my travel back, I sleep randomly in the middle of the day and then wake up at 3 a.m. Staring at the ceiling.
I guess we should also mention Spooktober on the main feed. We're covering all the Poltergeist movies is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And so we're getting to that Okay. Anything else that we should think about that we should cover?
Just shout out to Nevermind the Music. Shout out to Radioactive Ramblings. Just started with the, was it Red Rising books? They released an episode covering the first three chapters.
So I've never read
I need
them.
To catch up on that. Yeah, that's long been on my to-read list. So I got the book lined up. I just need to like catch up on the other books I'm reading for the podcast.
Jean, you had a note or two?
No, just really quickly. Creature Commandos. In December, the first real foray into the James Gunn universe.
So we're going to do a versus before that.
Yeah, we'll do a versus before that.
Yeah.
All right. Quick shout outs to our Discord server boosters, Aaron K., Tiller the Thriller, Dork of the Ninjas, Doove71, Athena Agilea, Tina Listu, Nancy M., Ghost of Perdition, and Richard W. Thank you all so very much for making our Discord server a better place for our community. To our Lore Master subscribers, our top-tier subscribers, who are our cornerstone of our publishing empire, Samartian, Michael G., Michelle E., Brian P., SC, Peter OH, Bettina W., Adam S., Nancy M., Doove71, Brian8063, Frederick H., Sarah L., Gareth C., Eric F., Matthew M., Sarah M., DJ Miwa, Andra B., Kwang Yu, Deadeye Jedi Bob, Nathan T., Alex V., Aaron T., Sub-Zero, Aaron K., Dally V., Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W., Listu, Jeffrey B., Elisa U., Fossi U., Neil F., Ben B., Charlotte M., and Scott F., and Adrian. Thank you all so very, very much for your ongoing support. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you to everyone who listens, whether you're a subscriber or not. We're just happy that you are here. A reminder really quick, we have a blog. If you're into writing things, go check out our website. Brian just posted a new article about detente and the Rings of Power, really cool article. And Jean, I think you had one final thing to say.
So I know this is DC. But as always, Marvel, if you're listening, recast T'Challa.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.